you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to 2 Timothy. I'd like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, reading through verse 18. Lord willing, we're going to continue our study that we began this morning on looking at the subject of truth, T-R-U-T-H. Word of God says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. They that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. The Word of God tells us that there's a lot of cleansing that comes through the Word of God. God's Word is truth. God is true. Everything that God says in His Word is true. We need to buy the truth. We need to study the Word of God to be able to understand what is truth and to be able to distinguish truth from error or truth from a lie. The Word of God says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. I want you to understand that God's people are the only ones that can ever understand the truth. And yet the people of God who do understand the truth can err from the truth. And these two men erred from the truth, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. That explains one reason that is very, very important. We mentioned from Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, they are to be rejected. And the reason they are to be rejected is they will lead other people away from the truth. These two men had, the Word of God says here, that they had overthrown the faith of some. There are people of God, children of God, that are called babes in Christ. It's very, very easy to lead the people of God away from the truth that's in God's Word. And Hymenaeus and Philetus had led people away from God. They had led people away from the truth of God's Word. And they had overthrown the faith of some. So it's very important that the church be the pillar and ground of the truth. It's important that the people of God in the church, that they know the truth, that they study the truth, that they share the truth, that they stand up for the truth, that they earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's imperative that the people of God valiantly fight and be set for the defense of the gospel. I want to go back again now to verse 15. Verse 15 says, study. The Word of God teaches us that we need to study. I used to think that preachers, for example, and this is the honest truth, the first time I ever tried to preach from God's Word, I thought that you studied and studied and studied until God gave you a subject to preach. And then once you knew what that subject was, once you knew what the text was, once you knew what the central thought was going to be, I thought that you walked up into the pulpit and that the Spirit of God would take over and that you would just start speaking and preaching the Word of God. I don't believe that's true. I tried that for three times. I studied and studied and studied, and then I would stand before God's people and I would pray and I would read the verse of Scripture, and I would just stand there waiting for the Spirit of God to bless me to be able to preach. God doesn't just bore a hole in our head and pour in us His Spirit and the words just come flowing out of our mouths. Men are not puppets. We are not puppets that God just pulls our string and causes or makes us to say certain things. It's essential that a man of God, the pastor and the people in the pews, it's essential that we study the Word of God, that we read the Word of God. I encourage everybody here that you read the Word of God every day, that you spend time just reading God's Word. But there are other times that we need to spend fervent time studying the Word of God. I am studying sometimes with people during the week, and I tell them, I just started studying with a couple this week, a couple of men, and I told them, I said, now you're going to have Bible study every day. You're going to have things that you're going to have to go and you're going to have to study. You're going to have homework. And until you do that homework, then we will not get back again. Does everybody understand that? Now, some people don't think you ought to encourage or cause people to study the Word of God, but you'll never be established in the truth of God's Word. You can go to church. I've watched people go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night for 30 and 40 years and still not be established in the truth. It takes studying God's Word, listening to God's Word, studying God's Word, looking and reading God's Word, and praying while you study. Study to show thyself approved unto whom? Approved unto God. We mentioned from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19 this morning that the Word of God says that there would be heresies among the church at Corinth, that there would be heresies that those that were approved might be made manifest. Brethren, the only people that can be effective in standing against heresies, the only people that can stand up against false doctrines are people that have studied the Word of God and know and understand the Word of God enough that they're able to withstand false doctrines. And the Word of God here says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then the Scripture says, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now I want to spend just a few minutes there on rightly dividing the Word of truth. Brethren, until the people of God begin to see various divisions that there are in the Word of God, until God begins to open our eyes, and I believe He will do that in studying, that as we begin to study and we take various subjects, we're going to begin to see that the same Word has a lot of different applications in the Word of God. For example, we begin to look at the subject of heaven. And usually when people hear the word heaven, there's only one thought in their mind, and that's the eternal heaven where the saints of God will be forever when this world is over. And that is a heaven taught in the Word of God. But if that's the only heaven that you know about, then you haven't studied God's Word enough. Because Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 says that John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There are two heavens mentioned in that verse of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said he knew a man in Christ Jesus above 14 years ago, whether in the body or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, such an one caught up to the what? Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Now, brethren, if you don't understand different heavens that are taught in the Word of God, if you don't study God's Word enough to be able to rightly divide between those different heavens that are taught in the Word of God, and there are more than just those three, but that proves there are at least three heavens taught in the Word of God, and if you don't understand the different heavens, you're going to meet yourself coming back and you're going to teach a lot of false doctrine, because the Word of God has to be rightly divided on the subject of heavens before the people of God can see the truth of God's Word. If a people don't understand, if a church, if a congregation, if they don't understand the difference in the eternal heaven and the kingdom of heaven, I do not believe that church can be established in the truth of God's Word. That's one of the most important divisions that's in the Word of God. In order to rightly divide the Word of truth, in order to see the truth and the difference in the eternal heaven and the kingdom of heaven, it takes some studying of God's Word. Study to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. when it comes to the subject of being saved and salvation. There again, many people, when they hear the word saved, their minds only go in one direction. And the only salvation they know about is being delivered from eternal hell to eternal heaven. If that's the only salvation you know about, then you're going to have a major problem understanding. You cannot completely understand the truth of God's word if that's the only salvation you know about. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to see the different salvations that are taught in the word of God. And you cannot see those different salvations unless you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Teach the truth on all these different salvations. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you save yourself? Did your parents save you? Did some other brother and sister in Christ save you? Or did Jesus Christ save you? Which one, Brother John? Oh, my goodness, it took a bunch to save you, didn't it? I'll tell you, brethren, Brother John is exactly correct. But he understands the different salvations. He understands that parents can save their children from a hell here on this earth. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14 talks about that, about parents saving their children, delivering their soul from hell. That's a job that parents can do, and that has nothing to do with saving them from eternal hell, but it has a lot to do with saving God's children from a hell here on this earth. The only one that has ever saved anybody from the eternal hell to the eternal heaven is Jesus Christ. He alone has done that work. And he did it without the help of any man whatsoever. I'll tell you, brethren, we need to thank God for whatever truth we understand. If you understand there's more than one heaven taught in God's word, it's God that showed you that truth. And it takes studying for God to reveal that truth to you. If you understand the different salvations that are taught in the Word of God, you need to thank God and give God the glory for the understanding of the truth of those different salvations. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said, save yourselves from this wicked generation. No, this untoward. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Did he tell them to save themselves? Was he telling those people to deliver themselves from eternal hell? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you, brethren, I can save myself from this untoward generation. I don't have to walk the way the rest of the world walks. By the grace of God, I can walk in a different way. I can save myself from this untoward generation. And when I see a brother or sister walking contrary to the truth of God's word, the word of God says, brethren, if any of you, we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Can I save your soul from death, Brother David? Can you save my soul? Absolutely. And that salvation has nothing to do with me or you going to heaven when we die. You have to study to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to understand that there are different forgivenesses taught in the word of God. I need to forgive you. You need to forgive me. But even when it comes to God forgiving me, there are two different forgivenesses that are taught in the Word of God. First of all, there was a forgiveness that took place at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And I was eternally, and all the people of God, so great a people, so great that no man can number, all the people of God were forgiven of all their sins when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And that is the most wonderful forgiveness that has ever taken place. However, the children of God, while they live here in this world, the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That forgiveness is based on me confessing and repenting of my sins. And if I confess and repent of my sins, Jesus will come and He will cleanse me. He will forgive me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us and to forgive us. A lot of different forgivenesses. Justification. Brethren, there are different justifications taught in the Word of God. Some people, all they talk about is justification by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is a justification that is definitely taught in the Word of God. However, if that's the only justification you know about, you haven't studied enough. Because if you keep studying God's Word, you're going to see that Abraham was justified by his works. So there's a justification by the blood of Christ, and there's a justification by works, and there's a justification by faith. And if you don't understand at least those three justifications, you haven't studied enough. Because that is rightly dividing the word of truth when you begin to see the different ways that words and subjects are used in the word of God. And the church should be teaching all of those truths. And you should know those truths so that you can teach other people the truth of God's holy word. Now, I want to mention one other scripture. One of the dear sisters in Christ came to me after Bible study this morning. We were talking about angels. That's what we were talking about. We're talking about angels. And I looked at one of the men in there and I said, do you think I'm an angel? He raised his eyebrow and I don't think he said anything. But he looked at me like, you're crazy if you think you're an angel. I mean, that was the implication I got. That was the feeling I had. Well, and the reason that he felt that way is because he had not yet been taught that the word angel has different meanings. You've got celestial angels, angels in heaven that do not sin, eternal heaven that do not sin. But you have angels here on this earth. The word angel simply means a messenger. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, each of the letters to the seven churches of Asia are addressed to the messenger or the preacher in the church. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write. And it was to the angel or the messenger. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not holy. I don't have wings. I'm not lily white. I'm a sinner. But I am a messenger called of God to give a message to the people of God. I'm a messenger. These little children, often, they give me a message. They speak something that touches my heart. You ladies often say something that touches my heart. You understand that you can be a messenger, that you're an angel. You ought to be an angel. If you're teaching other people the truth of God's word, you're a messenger, you're an angel. But the sister, after it was over, and she began to see that there are people who are angels, and then there are these heavenly angels. And she said, I was reading in 2 Peter and Jude about angels that fell. And she said, now I understand what that's talking about. It's not talking about somebody falling out of eternal heaven down into the earth. It's talking about people who have fallen from their position and their state that they were once in. And that's what's under consideration in 2 Peter. I want you to notice this now very carefully. And the reason it's very important for you to know that messengers, that angels, that men of God who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, that you need to know that they can get on the wrong track and they can teach you something false. Therefore, you have to study. 2 Peter. Everyone look in your Bibles just a moment at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, but there were false prophets also among the people. He's talking about in the Old Testament. Were there false prophets in the Old Testament? There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Do you hear what they're bringing in? They're bringing in damnable heresies. Did you know, in my lifetime, I've watched a whole denomination be swallowed by damnable heresies. I've watched a whole denomination that was established in the truth and understood the truth and earnestly contended for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And teachers began to come in and teach things that were contrary to the Word of God. And people did not stand up, and people did not speak out. And then those damnable heresies were spread throughout the whole denomination. Isn't that amazing? They bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. Now, there are three words right there that I can think are very significant. Even denying the Lord, that what? That bought them. Denying the Lord, that bought them. Now, can you, as a child of God who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, can you end up denying the Lord that bought you? Did Peter deny the Lord that bought him? Absolutely. And sometimes men of God who once were teaching and preaching the truth of God's word, they begin to bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Isn't that a sad condition? That the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, let me give you something that I think, and this is what I rejoice in as I look at you. I see here a body of people, and you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and this church is not perfect. But I do see a body of people that I believe that for the most part that you love God, and you fear God, and you're trying to serve the Lord. You're trying to study God's Word. You're trying to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're trying to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here's what the most loving, who is the most loving apostle? John. That's what I call him anyway. Turn about 10 pages past where you're looking at, 5 pages at least in your Bible. Turn to 2 John. 2 John, listen please, to verse 4, a little short epistle. But here's what John says. He says in 2 John, verse 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Do you hear that expression? Walking in truth. Now, do you know what are some of the things we've been trying to look at today? We've been trying to study about the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That is, the church is supposed to uphold the truth. The church is supposed to declare the truth. The church is supposed to spread the truth. Do you know why we're on the radio every Sunday? Do you know why we have the Trumpet of Truth magazine? Do you know why we have all the different ministries that we're trying to have? It's to try to spread the truth of God's Word. We should be the pillar and ground of the truth. We ought to be so thankful for the truth that God's given us that we don't want to hold it for ourselves, but we want to share that truth with others. And every one of us need every day to be sharing this wonderful truth with others. And I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Now, I'm glad that you believe the truth. I'm glad that you've been shown the truth. I'm glad that you, I believe most of you, try to teach other people some truth. I'm glad that I believe most of you will defend the truth. But I think the most important thing is for you to walk in the truth. That's more important, I believe, than everything else we've talked about so far today. It is imperative, it is absolutely necessary that you walk in the truth. Because when you walk in the truth, you know, I love that song just came to me. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Is that what it says? When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and all who will trust and obey. Brethren, walking in the truth is living what you know God's Word teaches for you to do. It means that you don't do the things God says don't do. It means you do things that God says to do. It means that you walk in the straight and narrow path. It means that you walk in love. It means that you walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Walk in the truth. 3 John, next page. 3 John, listen to verses 3 and 4. 3 John, verses 3 and 4, the Word of God says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." Now, I'm glad that you've got the truth in you. You understand? That you know the truth, that you understand the truth. "I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Do you hear what that says? And that was John's feeling, and that is my feeling. As your pastor, as my children and grandchildren, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. You are my children in a spiritual sense, and I have no greater joy than when I see you walking in the truth. May God help us to, as the Church of Jesus Christ, that we would study to know the truth, that we would pray that God will show us the truth, that we will defend the truth, that we will earnestly contend for the truth, that we will defend the truth, and that we will walk in the truth, is my prayer for Christ's sake.